there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back and relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Hello, Real Life. How are we doing today? So good to see you. Welcome. My name is Christian. I'm the Adults Ministry Pastor, as Will shared. And today, I'm excited to get into God's Word together. Before we get into our main content, I always love to share a verse for us that helps get our minds on who God is, how He wants to work. It says that He uses His Word to transform us, that He uses it and it bears fruit in our lives. And so I always love to start with a verse to help us do that. This is Psalms 103:9. I love this passage. It says, "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For His unfailing love towards those who fear Him is as great as the heights of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west." Listen to this. "The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him, for He knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust." Regardless of how you're coming in here today, if you feel a little bit weak in here today, it says that God sees you, He knows you, that He is a tender, compassionate Father, that even if you have not received Jesus yet, that the invitation is that He would love to remove your sins as far as the east is from the west, but He gives us a choice. In Revelation, it says He stands at the door and He knocks. I pray as the Word is proclaimed today that our hearts would be ready, that our minds would be on God and trusting our faith that says that He is here. Are you guys up for that today? Awesome. Well, with that, we're in a series called Five Questions. Everyone say five questions. Awesome. And today we're talking about another question of those five. A little bit of review before we get going ahead. Here's a little bit of where we have been, and you can go back and watch these. This is a home sphere series. If you don't know what that means, we use the five spheres a lot at Real Life, and we talk about the different spheres of our lives based out of Ephesians. And the home sphere is this reality that we all have a home, and God has called us to operate from those spheres in light of who He is. And so here's a couple of the questions that we have hit. The first one, we were talking about the family of God, that all of us are in the family of God for those who have received Him and declared Him as Lord, that we are into His family. Week two, we talked about this reality of marriage and how to two become one. Then we talked about parenting. And it said, the question I love is, what do we do with Him now? That was an awesome question last week. This week, we are talking about what does it mean to be a son or a daughter? A little bit of setup for that. All of us are either a son or a daughter to someone. And if you're a believer, you're also a son and daughter to the King. And so here's what we're going to do as we journey through today. We're going to first talk about that we are invited to be a son and or a daughter of the King. And then we're going to talk about what does God's design through His Word give us as how we are to be a son or daughter in our lives and how we are to honor father and mother. And then we're going to do something a little different today. We're going to do an interview. So with that, if you're in our notes, sons and daughters of the King. This reality, if you did not know, we're going to journey through some passages today of what the Bible makes clear. It says that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, that all of us were estranged, that we've gone off the path to follow our own. And because the choosing of sin, which we all have done, that we were separated from God by our evil thoughts and actions. Who remembers what that is like, to be separated from God? That it is a pursuit of me, mine, self, empty, that we have these thoughts about the world and what the world would say. But for those of us who have ran that direction to the fullest, it leaves you empty. And so because there was this gap, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, before time began, all together as God is one, made a plan for our redemption. Before you were even in creation, God knew that you would sin. And because he loved us so much, it says those he foreknew, he wanted to predestine, that God would have a plan for redemption, but that we would have to choose to receive, to turn from sin and go, God, I have made a mistake. How many of us are in here today make mistakes? All of us make mistakes. And that he would have a plan by sending his son Jesus. And that through Jesus, this is crazy. This is an amazing reminder for us that through Jesus, he would want to adopt us into his family. Can I get an amen? Listen to this in Ephesians 1. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace that he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Listen to this. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. Today, I want you to hear this. It says that he has showered all kindness and wisdom and understanding on us. That those he foreknew, he predestined. That he knew who would receive him. And he made a plan that all could receive him, but it is our choice. And it says those who have been adopted into his family, purchased by the blood of Jesus. And now we follow Christ in light of all that he has done for us. Can I get an amen? That never gets old for me to share. That we have been blessed with every single spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And now we respond to him in our hearts out of obedience, not because we have to, but because we've come to realize that our way is not the way. And we want him in the driver's seat. And in that reality, we come through Christ to see that God has a design. He has a design in his word for every area of our lives. That he has this reality of what he has given us to live for him and what it looks like. And a part of that is even within the home. That he has given us roles. That's why we've talked about the family of God first, that we're all in the family of God. And it is through the word and his church that we learn this reality of what it means to follow him. And that impacts how we are to be in our marriages and our parenting. And today, as we're talking about sons and daughters of the king, all of us have parents that we are called to navigate under, but all of us as well are called to seek out to be spiritual parents and seek out to be under a spiritual parent, because all of us are called to walk with Christ and learn together. Can I get an amen? So if you're in our notes, as we continue, it talks about this reality as we are having God as our father adopted into his kingdom, that we are to be like children. It says to have faith like a child, that we are to humble ourselves, that we are to trust God like faith, like a child. What comes to my mind with an image of that, it was years and years ago, I was on a trip with my family and we were out by St. Mary's and we were gonna go fishing. I'm like the only one in my family that doesn't like fishing, by the way. And everyone else does, but I go, my kid was Isaac. I have three of them, but Isaac was 4 or 5. He's about 11 now. And I remember we were going, it was at St. Mary's, and they get out of the car, they go, and there's this huge ledge to get to this awesome water hole, and it like goes down on this rock, and it's this really cool spot. So they all get out, and they go, and now Isaac's going up, and he's looking over at the path. He looks at me, he looks at the path, and he goes, no, I ain't doing it. And I'm like, hey, buddy, I'll be with you. I got you, like I'll take your hand and walk with you. And he's going, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. He's afraid. How many of you have ever been afraid in life thinking you can't do it? And what was so interesting, it felt like 3 hours, but I think it was probably 5 or 7 minutes where I'm trying to convince him. And finally, I think something clicked because he went from saying, I can't do it to, oh, you're gonna do it with me. You see, this faith like a child is humbling yourself. Stop living for yourself, doing it within yourself, your way, your roadmap, your design. And then when you realize that it's God's way and that you can have trust in Him and that regardless of the terrain and how scary it is or what it looks like, my trust, my faith like a child is that it's not gonna have to be me alone, that my Father, God, will guide me. Can I get an amen? And then it clicked. He grabbed my hand. He started running out in front of me, and I swear he almost threw me off the cliff. He started dragging me, and he started going out in front of me because he was confident that I had him. See, we have this invitation to have faith like a child, to walk with humility, to abide in Christ, that regardless of how scary life looks, that we trust our Father, that He has proven His faithfulness and made a way through Jesus. And regardless of what we think, we submit to His design and trust in His ways. Jesus mentions this in Matthew 18. It says, about that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child to Him and put the child among them. Then He said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We can step back and trust our Father, that He is compassionate and merciful and good. And through realizing our way does not work, we submit to His design within marriage, within parenting, within following Him, in each area and sphere and stage of our walks with Him, God, we trust You. And that leads us to the next section. So we talked about adopted sons and daughters. Now we're talking about sons and daughters within God's design. This is what Ephesians 6 says. It says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on earth. Does anyone ever have a hard time following someone else in your life? You liars. No. Right? The Bible has this design in light of who Christ is and what He's done. We come to trust Him and we live according to His design. And it says to honor father and mother, that God has a design for accountability, for authority, for relationship, this beautiful picture that we are called to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. In this reality, as we're talking about our immediate families, right? I believe the imagery is still there, whether it's the family of God or in our immediate families. And for some, this is really hard because you've had hard experiences with a father or a mother. And your even maybe view of God can sometimes be based upon your worldly father or mother based upon your experience. What I'm talking about today is not talking about the realities in the context. There are boundaries. And there is situations and contexts where we are called to walk with other spiritually mature people through some of those harder examples. But the basic principle of what God's design is that even within that, with support from others, is we are to forgive, that we are called to walk and honor and learn to obey father and mother as parents. And that's always easy, it always makes sense, and it's always fun, right? It's not always easy, but God has a design for us within relationship. And I want to read this other passage in 1 Timothy because he uses family language even for people outside of your immediate family. Even you could even say with outside of the church, he has this language that he thinks it's so important how we are to treat each other within authority, respect, honor, and obedience, all of these pieces. Listen to this in 1 Timothy 5, it says this. It says, never speak harshly to an older man, but appeal to him respectfully as you would to your own father. Talk to younger men as you would to your own brothers. Treat older women as you would your mother, and treat younger women with all purity as you would your own sister. See this imagery even outside your immediate family. He says, even when you're talking to someone older, do not talk harshly to. Treat them as you would your own father. What language is that assuming on how we are to treat our father and our mother and our brother and our sister? See, here's the beauty of who our God is. It says God is love, and he is also just, right? And God gave us Jesus, and he fulfilled both of those realities in Christ. And now everything that he commands us to do is for our good, because our God is a God of relationship. Can I get an amen? And he loves us, and he has a design for how we're to interact with each other. And he commands it. And in light of who he is and what we have come to the end of ourselves knowing, we go, God, your way is the way I want to go. But it's not always easy, is it? There's certain contexts and situations for some of you in here today may have had hard realities within your relationships. But today, I hope that you would be encouraged to go, man, God has adopted you. The invitation is for you. That God has called us to interact with our parents with an honor and obedience. And this next list is parallels for me. I want to journey through five practical things that I believe all kids need. And I believe these principles apply to all of us, whether it's within our own immediate families, because we all have parents, or whether it's we're talking about the family of God and kids within the family of God within our different stages of maturities. But I believe these steps here give us some good footing on what we should invite into our lives and what we should foster in other people's and kids' lives, whether it's physically or spiritually. The first one is this, my favorite one, what kids need. Kids need an understanding of who God is and his love for them. Ephesians 3 says this, and he's talking to all God's people, says, and may you have the power to understand as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness and life and power that comes from God. Paul says, let all of God's people should understand this. This would include all ages and stages and relationships and designs. He says, all of God's people should understand how deep, how wide, how long, how high his love is. And it has been revealed through Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? It says in Romans that it is his kindness that leads us to repentance. That when we see the backdrop of our sin and what we deserve, that we deserve a separation from him, and that you really see the fullness of God's love underneath that backdrop, you come to this reality that God has given it all for you. And it said that it leads us to repentance and going, God, I want to follow you. I want to ask you, where is your mindset with this? I want to ask you, do the kids in your life have a grasp of this through your own life and through what you share with them, the gospel with them? Is it something that you chase after as you are an adopted and son and daughter underneath the King? Number two, kids need the older to pour into the younger. Titus 2 says that the older women are to pour into the younger women. That we are called as a family of God and within our own families to seek out, foster, pursue relationships where the older and the people who are walking with Jesus more closely should pour into the younger. I want to ask you this, your own for you today. Who's investing in you? Is there someone that you have sought after to pour into you? If you go back to week one, Gary Thomas did such a good job that community isn't found, it is built. Have you started to build a pursuit of seeking wisdom from other godly people to invest in you? You never go beyond investment. Who agrees with me? We should be lifelong learners. The next one is correction. I love this. Proverbs 12:1. To learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. The word stupid is in the Bible, I guess. right? Kids need correction. We need correction. We need discipline in our lives. It says those who don't want people to speak into their lives aren't very smart. It says they're stupid, right? We should be people who pursue. Kids need correction. We need correction, and the kids in our lives need correction. Four, healthy relationships and intake. 1 Corinthians 15 says, bad company corrupts good morals. As an ex-addict who got clean many, many years ago now, one of the things that kept dragging me down was I thought I could surround myself with the same people and make different choices. Kids need to be surrounded by healthy relationships and people. And so do we. Whatever age and stage or whatever people surround you in their age or stage, we are called to foster and be committed to those kinds of relationships. And sometimes it's not convenient. Sometimes that means picking a schedule that is more difficult with our own kids, with our own selves. We are called to surround ourselves, to foster these realities within the family of God and within our families. Number five is be an example. Listen to this in 1 Timothy 4:12. It says, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Whatever age and stage you're in, Paul says, for those who are young in the faith, and I believe this principle is also young physically to the kids around us, it says, don't let someone look down on you, but be strong, be an example. Are we fostering kids with whatever that means in these realities to be an example and that they can make an impact regardless of whatever age and stage that they are in, that we can help them be impactors and examples for the kingdom? I want to read this verse in 1 John 2 as we get ready to end this section and this reality of this amazing thing that John is saying to the different ages and stages within our spiritual health. Listen to this. It says this. It says, I am writing to you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Christ. I'm writing to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I am writing to you who are young in the faith because you won your battle with the evil one. I've written to you who are God's children because you know the Father. I've written to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I've written to you who are young in the faith because you are strong. God's word lives in your hearts and you have won your battle with the evil one. As we get ready to end this section and go into something a little different today, I wanna say this, regardless of whatever age and stage your maturity is in as an adopted son or daughter, regardless of your immediate family and where your parents are, John's encouragement to all of us in these different examples and ages and stages is that you are strong, that Christ has been the Lord of your life, that you can do it, that God is with you, that you have overcome in Christ. And we can have that heart as well to go, God, I trust you as my father. Regardless of the terrain, God, I will walk with you. So let's recap real quick. One, God has invited all of us to be his adopted sons and daughters, that he has made a way through Christ for you to turn from your sins and follow him. Two, he has a design within the family of God, within his word, that we can honor our father and mother, that we can learn within the different relationships and realities to trust God, to obey and honor those around him, and that we can do it in light of all that he has done. Three, there are five things that kids need, which we went through as some practical steps. Now, we're going to transition and do something a little different. We have an interview today, and we're going to get ready for that. They're going to bring out the chairs, and as they're doing that, I get to interview my dad today. Yes. We're talking about sons and or daughters, right? And my brother got a host. I get to speak, and I'm in control with the questions, guys. This is great. He's going to come up here, and we're going to do some interview questions with him. Yeah. and a little bit about our journey, just so you guys have a understanding. I shared a little bit about it. I was not always walking with Jesus. I strayed away and sought after the things of the world. And my dad did a lot to parent me, to chase after me. So some of the questions are going to have to do with today's message. Some of them are going to have to do with him and what he did with me, this rockhead you see up here, and how he learned some things. And some of them, just for him as our senior pastor, who's not always here with us, gets to just say anything he would want to share with the Coeur d'Alene campus. So with that, hello.
You know, you got started out saying that you should submit to authority and then you take charge.
I know. This is, you know, this is true. I mean, I really just wanted your ancient wisdom today. I know that there's some things that you could say because you're so much older than me that I just don't understand yet. So first question is, looking at today's message and this whole series, because we don't always get you in person, what are some important things that are from your heart within today's message and just really in the whole series? What would you love to share with us?
Well, I think we've all been handed a box to live in from our culture. This is what terms mean. This is what it looks like. From our parents, our experiences. And oftentimes, we either live in the box we were handed or we swing the pendulum completely away from that box and create our own different box. And part of, you alluded to this in your message, part of our job is to go, no, our way of any box we create that was handed to us, living in any of those boxes is wrong unless it's the box that God hands us, right? So whatever it looks like, father, mother, child, grandparent, our culture hands us all kinds of things. You do your time as a parent and then you go, it's on them and they go take care of it themselves and I'm going to go play golf or go hunting or whatever. This world, you on this planet, there's no destination down here that is the destination. Mm-hmm. We're living with eternity in mind. We're raising our kids, not until we're retired, or until they graduate, we're a part of encouraging them all the way until you pass and they continue on. It's supposed to be this community of spiritual believers in the church who then are connected to the spiritual leaders in the home who raise up children to know Jesus and live in eternity. I mean, how many of you in here want to be in eternity without your kids or grandkids? Well, we say that, but oftentimes we don't live with that goal in mind, with that as our intentional ending point. We've done everything during our time on planet Earth to have those around us know Jesus better through us. And so the end goal is that we're celebrating together in eternity with those that love Jesus. And ultimately, kids have to make a choice. You just as God gives us choices, we as parents can do our best and our kids have to make their own choices. But did we do the best we could at showing them who Jesus really is? A lot of times people reject the wrong Jesus. It's not the real Jesus. They reject a made-up form of Jesus that the culture or even we ourselves gave them. And did we do our best to show Jesus for who he truly is? And then let them decide based on that. We know the greatest father, when you were, I wrote my resignation after you came home high one night and I knocked you out. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, and it was like the worst experience of my life. And so I wrote my resignation, brought it in. And I tried everything. We tried everything. I just lost it, which was totally wrong way to handle it. So again, I came in and I had this lady come up to me in the foyer and said, I just feel like I'm supposed to tell you something. I said, okay. And she said, the greatest father in eternity lost his two kids in the Garden of Eden. What did he do wrong? And, you know, just turned around and walked away. So I went from giving my resignation to offering it. So I still get emotional about this.
Yeah. Thanks.
And people came alongside me
And look at us now. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's so beautiful is we don't have to be perfect.
We
can't be. And that we can make major mistakes and God can still work through the realities of our mistakes. And thank you for all those years of investing in me when I was a rockhead.
Yeah. You say that in past tense form.
This is true. Yeah. Next question I have for you, a little bit more on the reality of the age and stage that you are. So you're a kid and have parents. What have you learned being a kid to your parents at your age?
Well, just as I'm pouring into my kids, I'm pouring in my parents. One of the things that it says in that Ephesians passage is it says to obey your parents, and then it changes it, honor your parents. Mm-hmm. You obey your parents when you're young. When they're old, you honor them. Now, because you don't obey them anymore, you take into consideration their parenting, but that's not your job to obey. Your job is not to obey me, but it's to listen to wise counsel, discern by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God where I'm correct, where I'm not, and then honor me that I care enough to minister into your life, but. And why do you do it? Because I always deserve it. No, I made so many mistakes as a parent. But it starts out in that Ephesians 5 passage, 5 verse 21, out of reverence for Christ, submit therefore one to another. We do it because of what Jesus has done, not because of what you deserve or what I deserve. So for me, my parents had been in ministry all these years, and I've somehow become sort of the parent at this point. Because they're kind of winding down. And just as my job as best I can is to wind up my kids to know Jesus, it's to help my parents finish the race. Because the enemy tells them you're no good. The enemy's lying to them because they have too much time to sit there. And as they get older, they become more fragile. And our job is to encourage one another, to out of reverence for Christ, encourage them to finish the race well. Just as it's my job to the grandkids, to you. It's wherever you're at, you've got your upline and your downline. You're to be a Christ follower in wherever you are in that process.
It's really good. It's really good. For us, I know we're going to skip to question 4, but you alluded to some of this where things that you did when I was running away. And you submitted to the Lord. You brought people in within relationship to support you. You continuously pursued me. And thank you for all those things. And for those of us who have straying parents or kids, right? You don't have to be perfect. I hope you heard him in that. He made mistakes and I made mistakes and God can work through it all. But in our few more minutes that we have together with you, just as the senior pastor, is there anything that you would love to share that you're here? We don't always get you in person. Anything you would want to share to Coeur d'Alene campus, and it can be whatever you want.
Well, I think going back to some of you have kids that are far from the Lord right now. And oftentimes we want to save them, but we can't do their part. We can't do God's part. We can only do ours. If you don't stay on the rock, a drowning man cannot help a drowning man. You need to, it's like that analogy of on the airplane, the oxygen mask drops, and you want to put it on your kids. You have to abide in Christ, or you don't have the wisdom and strength. Because there's nothing more painful in your life than your kids being far from God. Mm-hmm. And it's enough to pull you off the rock if you don't let it, or if you let it. Mm-hmm. So I would say, as a Christ follower, have the church family, people in your life that are encouraging you to have wisdom, not overreact, all of that, so that you can maintain your own walk with God while they're in a far country, right? In the prodigal son story, waiting for them to return and then running and meeting them, right? Yeah. As far as this church is concerned, I'm so proud of what God is doing here in all the campuses. And he's always done it in spite of us. I mean, we try to do things his way to honor him, to lift people up. But we've never done, just like I was never a perfect parent, we've never been perfect leaders either. And I'm just so grateful that what God is doing in spite of us, not just here, but around the world. This is our slice of history. And none of us ever wake up in the morning going, wow, I want to jack things up today. I'm really looking forward to that. Yet we still make mistakes. We still keep going. We have to give grace to one another. We have to keep moving. This is our slice of history. Until our slice of history closes out, we've been given a mission and it hasn't changed. And we just keep pressing forward. And we want to be able to say, we want to hear when we whatever amount of, we're stewards of whatever time, energy we have. It was given to us for a purpose. And when the Lord returns, we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. Notice faithful, not perfect, because none of us qualify. Mm-hmm. Faithfulness. Okay, Lord, we'll do what you say to the best of our ability. And this group of people are, this is ordinary, that's the miracle of what Jesus did. He used ordinary, unschooled people who were never supposed to be the hero. Jesus was always the hero. And he's doing that, the same God who did that then through ordinary, unschooled, broken people, he's still working in spite of us. And I'm grateful that I get to see it and we all get to be a part of it.
Amen. Can we give it up for Jim? Thank you.
Lovely.
So good. I hope you hear that we can be unordinary, uneducated, broken people that God can work through. Amen. And that he has invited us to be in his family, and that we, in light of who he is, get to go out to this world and share the hope of Jesus, and that we can do that in each sphere and age and stage and make an impact for the kingdom.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.